Tens of millions of Americans watched this debate on television. A few hundred watched it in person at a University of Miami arena normally used for basketball games. Day-to-Day's Eric Weiner joined the audience there for a different kind of debate experience, one that was, for that time, 100% spin-free.
Among this audience of political bigwigs were more than 130 University of Miami students, winners of an essay contest about democracy in America. They watched the event live in the flesh, but that's all they could do, watch. As moderator Jim Lehrer warned at the start of the debate, no applauding, cheering, crying, hissing, or booing allowed. Shivering, apparently, was allowed. It was very cold inside the hall. Presumably, that was the doing of John Kerry's team. They didn't want their candidate to be seen perspiring heavily, as he has a tendency to do. Of course, for these students, that wasn't an issue. From their vantage point in the cheap seats, Kerry could have sweated buckets and nobody would notice. At this distance, the two candidates looked like miniature action figures on the stage. But never mind. This was history in the making, and these students, like Jorge Alvarez, wouldn't miss it for anything.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, to be here, to be able to watch all of this process go on, gives a great insight into why we're here.
Even if the seats are lousy.
Even if the seats are lousy.
Alvarez and his friend, Nathan Cannell, both medical students, belong to a much sought-after group. They are undecided voters from the crucial swing state of Florida. They came here hoping to hear or see something that would help them make up their minds. After this initial burst of applause, they take their seats and, as instructed, watch the 90-minute debate without a peep. Afterwards, I corner them immediately while their perceptions of the debate are still fresh, untainted by the spin doctors and pundits lurking outside. Alvarez says he liked a few of the lines delivered by John Kerry, especially the one about the Pottery Barn approach to foreign policy. You break it, you own it. He was leaning slightly towards President Bush before the debate, but now says he's rethinking his vote, sort of.
I may have leaned a little bit more away from Bush, but it doesn't mean I've leaned any closer to Kerry. I'm going to wait to see what the next two debates bring out. Hopefully that one of them will really make themselves more appealing. They don't really seem to be any different from each other. They almost bickered like school children, saying, I waver, no, I don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't.
His friend Nathan Cannell says he, too, was unimpressed with both candidates. He found them stiff and hackneyed, and he thought too much of the debate focused on Iraq. He wanted to hear the candidates outline a broader vision of America's place in the world. So, the bottom line for this undecided voter?
I think I'm still undecided, and I will be until I see what they're going to do on domestic policy and the economy. And, I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to look at the whole picture.
Here we've had 90 minutes of debate. You watched it live, not on television. There's been no spin, and you're still undecided. Nothing's clarified in your mind?
If you look at just the foreign policy aspect of what's been going on tonight, I would say I would end up voting for Bush, because we already know where he stands on it. He's been very clear, and while it may be an unpopular thing, we at least know for certain. With Kerry, I think that there's too much uncertainty, and when it gets down to it, is it the lesser of two evils? Like, which one is actually going to do the least harm to our country and what's going on? And it's the evil that we know is better than the evil that we don't know.
Cannell says he'll watch the next few debates very closely before making up his mind. Of course, he'll be watching those events through the filter of television, and as he says, it just won't be the same. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner in Miami.